Miller.
This episode of Tiger Turf Talk is brought to you by The Toro Company. For over 100 years, The Toro Company has been a leader in innovative solutions for turf maintenance. Through a strong network of professional distributors, Toro proudly offers a wide range of commercial-grade equipment. Visit Toro.com to explore their full lineup of products.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of Tiger Turf Talk. I'm your host, Drew Miller. We're here in Charlotte, North Carolina, with the incredible Dan Lizzito. Yes, you are. Don't even try and say you're not. You do so much for my kids, and I can't thank you enough for that. How you doing? How's everything going?
Good. Cold.
So this is on the way down to Daytona. We have a nice fire for those that are watching above us. There's no heat coming from the fire, but it's about the thought.
Speak for yourself.
Mind over matter, right? We're on our way down to SFMA with the kids for the Sports Field Management Association Conference in Daytona Beach, where everyone's going to be happy because it's supposed to be 70s all week. Ooh. Did you see that?
I'm not prepared for that.
Danny's coming down in his big wool coat, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So how's everything going? How you doing? How's the, season wrapped up? And, it's been a chaotic year for you guys, obviously.
Yeah, probably the fastest year, I think, to date. Right, so we just had two seasons wrap up, bowl games, and we're immediately wrapping into field construction. So swapping the turf in the stadium, rebuilding the practice fields at the Panthers site, and then we're also building new fields at our Charlotte FC site. So
incredible.
All three properties under construction. About 3 weeks off.
For our
off season,
we do have in the frame his calendar. For those that think you have a lot, you're wrong.
My life,
you're wrong. This
here.
Is just half of his life. Probably he's probably got more in his other calendar. So just everyone to make
sure
you're
aware.
It's okay. We'll look at it for you.
Way.
You look this way. Yeah.
So February 24th is our first Charlotte FC match. So our off season's short. So we're just trying to take some time off. Going down to SFMA on Wednesday. Heading out to Vegas for the Super Bowl on Friday. So come back 2 weeks left in first game. So
it's insane. It's crazy how, MLS has gotten so much longer than what it used to be, right? But that's incredible to hear, the investment into your guys' fields and everything and being able to have the best field service possible for your players. So that's incredible to hear. We were talking a little bit before. You've had a rough go here in the holiday seasons. It's funny because for those that don't know, and is it okay if I talk about this? He had the flu. Was it the flu?
Sure.
It was some form of illness. And I got a text and he's like, I have the flu and we're flipping tonight. And I think it was Christmas Eve. I think I wished you a Merry Christmas, right?
Yeah, That's Christmas Eve.
I was like, it's your Michael Jordan game, man. You got this. It's going to be okay.
Flu game. Flu conversion.
Exactly. Something that the reason I bring it up is obviously you rely a lot on your crew and there's a lot that goes into that. What has it been like, obviously, since the last time we had you on the podcast, sort of building out your crew and everything you have here with the Panthers and Charlotte FC? Obviously, we've seen it firsthand and how incredible and how far it has come. What has that been like for you and just being able to develop a crew and a staff where you guys really are a family and we're very grateful that we get to be a part of it from time to time. So
it's exciting. It's challenging, very challenging at times because I think it's constantly changing, right? You're always going to have a couple people come and go. So we call it like the homeostasis always gets a little bit upset by someone coming, going, leaving, or, different personalities. So this year is a big year for us because we actually got to fully hire our staff at Charlotte FC. So we have four employees there. And then here, we still have one open full-time position, but we did get approved for a couple internships this summer. So coming up, that's kind of something to look forward to for us is we'll have two interns here and then hopefully two interns at Charlotte FC. So, I think you came here a year ago. A little over a year was the first time.
It was
the first time we talked on here, and so we've come a long way since then. We were a very bare bones crew then, running around trying to do everything at once. And so now we're at a good spot where we can start to, I don't want to say delegate, but more manage our time a little bit better. So we have the resources to split up and tackle multiple things at once. So that's been the biggest advantage for us is just getting fully staffed. And then as we continue, we bring training camp home, we continue the events and the seasons and stuff. We hope to grow in that and then just kind of keep going. Hardest part about that is just more people, more personalities, more expectations. So trying to get everyone in alignment with my vision, my standards, my goals, and then make it theirs. And so they share that same vision. It's challenging, but it's really cool when you do see it come to fruition, probably similar to what you feel when these guys retain the information they show you that they've learned.
We'll see Wednesday if they retain information for the student challenge.
Are you guys in it?
Yeah, they're in it. We got two teams.
I'm proctoring, so I get
to. Oh, this is going to be great.
I'm going to use it as an
experience. Zach, you can't laugh, okay? In the middle of the exam, you cannot look at Danny and be like,
it's B. Yeah,
like, hey. It's B. Be like, yeah. Hey, be like, you got a signal, like, hey,
blink,
guys.
Blink twice for B. proctoring, I don't know, I think it's the one portion of the hands-on.
Don't say anything. We don't want it on record that we were told.
I think it'll be cool for me because that's I get awesome. To go down and see like what the talent is in the industry
for sure,
and then I can use that to kind of tell scout me if a I'm bit. A
shitty teacher. Yeah, you know, that'd be great.
use it as like a scouting report.
Yeah,
and
for sure,
and then network with some of the younger generation and see if we can kind of continue that pipeline.
That's incredible. Obviously. When it comes to all of these things, and something that I do want to mention for those, like you were talking about, seeing sort of all of your work and what your expectations are come to light. There are so many guys here on the crew and ladies, shout out Logan, that, you know, understand that standard. And I was playing devil's advocate the whole time I was here. I was like, guys, let's just, you know, forget the paddle. You got this. Let's go.
Yeah.
Everyone always was, you know, ensuring that they met that quality and control in the sense of standards set by you. And it was truly incredible to, you know, have those fights with those guys. They wouldn't budge because they know what your expectation is and how you've instilled it in them. So huge shout out to you because it really is extremely hard to make that successful and be able to have guys that have that standard, you know, not at the highest level, you know, obviously as assistants and interns and all that. So major props to you, obviously.
Appreciate it.
You talked about your brand new fields and everything that goes into that. Obviously, there are so many steps and so many things that you're working towards. What are you focusing on? And just sort of in your mind, what is it that you're prioritizing when it comes to steps towards that? Obviously, it has to be ready by the season. You have deadlines. You have all these things. What are you focusing on for yourself to ensure that you have met everything that you need?
Right now, a lot of it's we're kind of running parallel with our design and build. So we have an ongoing cadence of meetings that we talk through construction points and design. And so for me, it's really just controlling what I can, which is the design phase still. Like as we're going through it, keeping up on construction meeting notes and making sure that everything we're looking for, all the specs are being accounted for. I can't control the weather. I can't control the speed of excavation and the equipment that's out there. That's the contractor's job. So what I can control is making sure that everything we want is getting, you know, talked about in these meetings. So having that seat at the table has been really good, all the way through soccer construction, Panthers practice, and now obviously stadium renovation too. So, I shouldn't say renovation yet. I should say replacement of the synthetic.
Yes. You're good.
Yeah. We're swapping our turf out, just refreshing that surface. And then Panthers are getting two brand new fields. So
very nice.
Quite a bit.
So obviously with the, you know, synthetic, what are you guys, is there any additions or anything like Brock pad or anything that you guys are looking for or just refresh of the surface?
Refreshing. The only thing we've added was we did some pylon cam conduits, some power for the goalpost cameras.
All the bells and whistles, right? Yeah.
corner kick flags in ground. That kind of stuff. We have the poured E-layer, so the pad it's already out there, so they peeled the carpet up. We're gonna do some patchwork on certain areas. We installed like a nailer around the perimeter just for a better secure, and then we're gonna come back, same carpet, same sand rubber infill. We're gonna switch to a green rubber, see how that looks aesthetically in a substitute for the cool play. We're going to have just sand and green rubber out there. So looking forward to that. So Other than that, same surface.
Gotcha. And then obviously, you guys put in Tahoma, all right? We talked about that.
Yep.
This past summer. What are you guys looking forward to, you know, not, whether it's improvements or just sort of what you're hoping to have up mm-hmm. there moving forward when it comes to the practice facility? What are you aiming for? What are some of the things that you're going to be able to do, culturally speaking, mm-hmm. better in a sense?
Control. So everything we're doing now is... One, that field and that site is original, right? Mm-hmm. So 96 build. So the big field out there right now for this season is not getting touched. So we're adding two full-size fields. We'll have one existing, so we'll have three. So we'll have a field from 96 and a field from 24.
Nice.
So the new fields we're building, we are doing a full ground-up renovation. We'll be coming in with an impermeable liner for sub-irrigation. We'll be coming in with... the pipe foundation for an air pat system mm-hmm. from the Moats Group. Carolina Green is partnering with them, but Carolina Green will be doing our main construction. So from that point up, it's a new irrigation system, USGA root zone, moisture sensors, which include temperature, salinity, moisture. So that'll be cool. And then once the air pat system is installed in the future, we'll have full control over vacuum ventilation, soil warming, and then a synthetic track on the perimeter. So for us, it's really about controlling our environments, right? With the exception of grow lighting out there, we're going to have nice, wide open, no shade issues. So that'll be nice. You know, if we get a lot of rain in practice with the absence of an indoor for phase one, we'll be able to control that moisture a little bit better. And then temperatures, you know, aiding the varieties we pick. So if we go with Tahoma, which is our intent, we'll be able to control those seasons a little bit longer with growth blankets and soil warming, right? For just sure. Push it a little bit longer, wake it up a little earlier as the demand increases. So the second thing we're doing is bringing training camp home. That's a lot. It's just a lot of extra time and wear and tear in a time that we used to get to grow the fields in, you know, pretty well. We had 6 weeks off without anyone in the middle of July.
Which is the perfect weather for it. Incredible.
Right? It was so nice. So I'll miss that time to really work the fields culturally. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's just being a little bit more proactive at the sod farm, working with Carolina Green to meet our surface requirements, what we're trying to get the plants to do, so that when the sod comes in, we're ready to play because we're not going to have any time anyway. So
gotta love that.
Yeah, really. I mean, our goal is just control of our environments and being able to manage it.
So obviously I'm you know, biased. I love Chris, former yeah. boss of mine. Billy's awesome as well. What is it like working with those guys, being able to sort of have the access? You know, most NFL guys, they would have to take a trip. I remember when mm-hmm. I was in Pittsburgh, Chris would fly to Tuckahoe, you know, to go check on the sod to make sure it was ready for when they were coming in. What's that sort of like for you working with Chad and all the guys? Obviously, there's a lot of back and forth, whatever you guys are doing, the CONCACAF Cup games and everything. What's that like been for you and just the whole experience and relationship with them?
It's unique. So, like, it's unique in the proximity. You know, obviously, Chad and those guys, they've always kind of worked with us. And most sod farms do, right? They're willing to take your advice as long as you're not asking them to do something that...
costs a lot of money.
Well, yeah, something that doesn't hinder the harvest ability, right? So, like, I'm not going to go deep slice the sod and
right through the plastic.
Fall apart. Yeah, right? So a lot of it's just grooming practices, scalping, that kind of stuff. But no, they're really good. We're obviously very close. We work together all the time. We're 30 minutes away. So that's something unique that I have that not a lot of people have. So I'm very thankful for that. I get to. If I want to, I can drive out there in one day and come back and just see the grass, see the environment it's in, and then come back and write up a plan. And they're always willing to, you know, kind of work with me on that. So having Chris and Billy and Joe from Pittsburgh there, that's a big asset for Chad, because what it does is it brings real life groundskeeping experience to the crew. So if I'm being nitpicky, you know, during
they understand
sod install,
it, right?
They understand the same exact thing, because what we're looking for is the little details that a coach might see right away or a player might see right away. You know, and sometimes in those operations, there's time constraints and you're just trying to go. And so, you know, the little details are they're elevating, because they have someone on the crew kind of showing them, like, no, like, this is exactly what they're going to be looking for. Mm-hmm. So it helps us. It helps them get better. It helps the whole operation flow. So that's been really kind of different and unique since he's gotten there. So shout out to them for, you know, making that move and just trying to constantly elevate.
For sure. Now, when it comes to the fields actually getting here, what are you focusing on culturally, high to cut, things like that, mm-hmm. that you guys have been able to be successful? Obviously, we came out at the end of the season, and I mean, it looked like it was untouched, to be honest with you. What are you focusing on to ensure, you know, obviously now you have a shorter time frame, but from the start of mm-hmm. training camp all the way through to hopefully Super Bowl one day, mm-hmm. you know, but when it comes to having a field prepped and playable throughout that entire time frame, culturally speaking, what do you focus on? How are you really just really honing in the perfect playing surface?
For us, it's, you know, from the start, it's making the surface uniform, plain. So when we get the sod in, right, we're trying to break up the sod layer, right? It's plastic grown. Usually we're playing on it right away, so we don't have a lot of time for cultural work, true cultural work. So we do some of that at the farm, which is just more high to cut management. So I might ask them to mow it shorter than they would deliver. Mm-hmm. So we'll manage that there. When it comes in, it's a little bit of leveling, top dressing, just to make sure the seams are squared away, they're tight. And then it's, you know, it's a grooming game of how to get the canopy to level and look as if it's mature and aged and mm-hmm. one. Right, so we don't want to see the seams. We don't want to see the differences in rolls and density. So a lot of that, the focus is just getting the surface to come up as one. So that might include a heavy scalp. It might include a top dress if we don't have time for that and just grow through. But the goal is to kind of to make it more uniform. And then the second thing is density, right? We're trying to increase density to improve wear tolerance and get our traction numbers where we want them. So that one's always a challenge just because of the time of year. Typically, if we're doing it in the fall, we're not in growing season anymore. Yeah. So, and then in the summer, with the absence now of that 6-week window, we lose kind of a really good window to kind of work this stuff. So this year is going to be different. It's going to be a challenge. It'll help us for the next year because we're going to learn a lot this year on how to turn that surface around really quick. So looking forward to that. But for the most part, we're looking for uniformity, safety, and then performance. So,
baseball season is upon us. Toro's Field Pro 6040 was created with ball fields in mind. The Field Pro's multi-tool system allows four tools to be carried at once, significantly reducing the time required preparing infields. Scarifying, grading, and dragging can now be completed in a single pass, saving you time and effort. Visit Toro's website today to learn more about the Field Pro 6040.
Now, you had a really great, you know, operation this past summer. For those that don't know, you took, was it Tifway? What did you guys lay on the?
This was, Tifway 419.
So you did 419. You laid it out for the CONCACAF game. That was like 5 days, 6 days. Mm-hmm. And then you took that same sod and you moved it to your training camp, old training camp site at Wofford.
Mm-hmm. Wofford.
Okay. Could you sort of give us an idea of sort of where that plan came about and everything that went into, you know, hey, we need a field for our training camp, but we can also save money by, you know, mm-hmm. using it first here and then moving it there. Just sort of that whole operation and how our kids were able to be a part of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so the original idea, we had gone down, done some site visits, wanted to improve the surface that was there. And just have a little bit more control over that for our team to be there. So we had made a couple recommendations of different tiers of renovation. And something we kind of came up with late in the game was if we could arrange the time to work out for Carolina Green to go down and prep that field, as soon as the field came off the ground here, we could reuse it. And some of that is just kind of just trying to be resourceful and save instead of throwing that grass away, right? So we're bringing 100,000 square feet of premium plastic grown sod that we worked on and we've fertilized mm-hmm. and we've groomed. So to see it go away kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And sometimes it has to happen. It's just the business. So there was just kind of how can we use this and not throw it away? We can save it. And then also kind of just be a steward to Wofford, right? We're providing them with a really good service for their stadium. They hadn't had a renovation in 10 years. So for us to be able to provide that was really nice. So kind of what we did was, and you guys are here for that, but for those listening, we had the soccer game, I think on a Saturday,
yeah,
Sunday or Saturday morning, or night, Sunday morning, came up and we asked Carolina Green to bring their harvester. And they rolled up each roll right back into a netted roll like they would have at the farm, loaded on a truck, shipped it down. So they came in earlier that week, sodded our field, packed up their equipment, drove down to Wofford, prepped theirs, excavated theirs, had it ready to go. So as soon as the game was over, we could load it in. And that was really cool. It's something we haven't done before. Big kind of learning curve. You know, we're, like I said, we're fortunate to be 30 minutes away. So when mm-hmm. we get their product, it's always freshly harvested. It's not sitting on trucks long. It's not sitting in the parking lot long.
10 hour drive so to the
Wofford's an hour and a half. So, but in the heat of the summer, fully fertilized, fully watered, right? These rolls are different from when they're leaving the farm. So we brought them down, a little bit of burn and stuff. So, but from that point, from laying that field, we had 4 weeks until camp. So we had a lot of time to work with the Wofford grounds crew, and they did a really good job of kind of manicuring that and getting it set. It was really funny to see it go down because all the soccer lines are still there in random places. So when we laid it on their field, it was a football field with...
It was like piecemeal.
It looked like chicken scratch of just lines on grass out there, so that was pretty wild.
It's like the Chiefs commercial where they... I was like that. The chefs.
It was worse than that, yeah. It was bizarre.
I was like, why couldn't we put Travis in? That'd be funny. Yeah.
So they were worried, actually. They saw it, and they were like, what is this? And I was like, don't worry, it'll grow out, you know. And Wofford's even warmer than us, so they were the prime growing weather. And so we top dressed out of that, and it was awesome. So cool experience.
You killed lines in our grass. No, it's just paint. Don't worry.
Yeah, it was nice to just get to reuse it, honestly.
Yeah.
I hate when we do those kind of events, and we just don't.
I've always thought, like, with those type of events, you have a high school that you want to donate to, you know, whether it's like they can use it somewhere or they have to pitch in, like, just the, you know, the building part, like the excavation. Hey, pay for excavation. Yeah. We'll
it's all site prep. You. Like, it can be a donation in the sense of, like, the product is free, but the labor and the site prep are very expensive as well.
For sure. Which, when you look at it face value, like, as a high school, you know, it's not hard to put together whatever, like $30,000 for the, like, excavation and grade. Yeah, you know what I mean, though. Well, you know, if they do it in-house, they get skid steers and stuff. That's like, they don't pay for that stuff. It would be the laser grading and all that. But you know what I mean.
It's funny when people are like, can we have some of your sod? You know, blah, blah, blah. We're like, go ahead. Good luck. Good luck moving it.
Yeah.
Right? It's that heavy. It's that big. So people will show up with trucks sometimes and try and load it, and they're driving out, skidding their tailgates on the ground.
Just like this.
it's different than what you could buy at Lowe's.
Just a little bit. Yeah. A little bit heftier. So. You know? Anything different for this CONCACAF Cup? I know we had talked about it a little bit for this summer. There's two games now.
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking forward for that?
We'll see. So this one we have, I mean, that alone is different. So we have two games. It's Copa America. Mm-hmm. So we have a semifinals and then we have a third place match game 2 days later. So we'll have a game on Thursday.
Hold on. We got the calendar.
Wednesday and Saturday. Look at that. So this time we'll have an extra day for prep. So I think we'll have 6 full days prep, which is nice. We're going to lay it right on top of fabric, on top of the turf again. We have direct access to our water sources, irrigation. So that'll be kind of nice. Prepping in between the games will be interesting because then it just extends our life. So last year, for example, 5 days prep and a game. Come game day, it's tough to keep that grass alive when it's so hot out on sod, on turf, you know, in a bowl without root zone, without irrigation, like we
you know normal would. Things for a plant growth.
So it's a challenge. Yeah. A lot of hand watering going on, a lot of hot spot chasing. So that'll be interesting to see how to flip that around. We're fortunate we've gotten ahead of the scheduling, so we are not going to host any trainings here. We are going to host the teams that participate at our Charlotte FC training facility.
Gotcha.
So we will have those teams on our properties, which is kind of cool for the guys there. Some pretty high level players will be using our surfaces there. Awesome. So quite a bit. And then we'll see. We'll see if we can keep it alive and green and pretty. But
I think you do just fine. I think you'll meet Ian's standards, you know. No, and I thought it was just so much fun being out here for that. The kids still talk about it, you know. You remember Ryan?
Mm-hmm.
He brought up the when you were getting the field prep when he was up taking the time lapse of the sprayer.
Yeah, yeah.
And he brings it up like all the time. He's like, he hit it perfect every time. I was like, yeah, that's many years of experience. and you know, something that again, I'd love your thought on it, obviously, because you're the one that invites us every time. what sort of like gave you the idea? I know we had talked about it and you just mentioned it, like maybe you want to come down. I was like, sure, why not? What was that sort of whole experience like? And hopefully we can get the kids here to ask a question or something, you know, that's what you guys are here for. What was that sort of like? And then obviously like your first time with the kids and your experience with our students specifically.
It was funny because so kind of in this role, and I think we talked about this that first time, was I like teaching, you know, like in another world, I think I would enjoy being a professor or a turf professor, but I also like working too much. So I don't know if I could handle the confines of that world. So this is a good balance. This is a good platform to do it. I enjoy the little bit of refreshment we get as a crew, not just myself, that when new people come in or people that aren't experienced in our world, the refreshed kind of outlook and perspective they see, because we get so desensitized being here every day. We see the field, we see the bowl, we're out there in the middle of the field like it's nothing. And then someone comes out here for the first time and they just like look around like, wow, this place is huge. To me, it doesn't feel big anymore, right? I get that when I go to a new stadium for the first time. And I think more so now I see it like if I go to a baseball stadium, if I go to a Major League Baseball stadium, I'm like, wow, this place is massive.
Yeah.
Right. If I come to an NFL stadium, it kind of feels like ours, but they're still different and it's refreshing. So that's kind of interesting just to kind of see their perspective and the, you know, looks on their faces, whatever, how they talk about it, because we don't feel that anymore.
Yeah.
It's hard to maintain that when you're here every day.
When you're here every day, for sure.
The other thing, it's a challenge for us, and I think I've talked about this before, where it's really good for my crew to have to take a group of students or guests, or if it's Casey from UNC or whoever, take them with them, say, hey, we're going to go do this task. This is how we do it. So it's kind of like a secondhand reassurance that they know what they're doing. They have to teach it. They're reinforcing their knowledge by teaching. So that's a huge benefit. So kind of when I got into this role, I just wanted to bring more people in, right? So it is a big name place. There's a platform for it and there's an attraction for it. So a lot of my peers in the industry hadn't really come around here. Hadn't had access to the facility, so I just wanted to kind of open that door. And once I had heard about what you guys are doing, it's just an easy invitation, right? We're gonna do it this year for CVCC out of Hickory and bring some of the students there in for labs and stuff like that. You know, I always thought like if I were to ever work at a college or NC State or something like that that had a turf program, like every time I would be aerating, I'd be inviting those kids out, like, come out here and watch me do this, or you can hop on and do it, because that's the learning, right? I remember when I was in school my first year, didn't know anything, right? Fresh right into school, didn't know anything they were talking about, cultural work. And then my first internship, it all clicked, because I had heard the terms, learned a little bit about it, didn't really make sense. And then once you see it and you do it, you're like, oh, kind of makes sense. And then it starts to grow and like actually turn into knowledge. So long-winded version, but
told you guys, see, that's what I, so they're presenting, the kids are presenting on Thursday, right? Thursday morning. And one of the things, one of Zach's points that he's going to talk about is the upside of being on our program is you get all of that, you know, you're doing the work, you're experiencing it, and then you're learning about it, because I mean, like you said, when we were in college, like you come out, you're like, oh, what is this exactly? Yeah. Like, what did we do to this again? And then, you know, you get up to your internship and you're like, oh, it all makes sense now. Yeah. You know?
And it's important. I mean, for you guys to have exposure for our industry, it's big because you're exposing people to one support interest to get into the career field, mm-hmm. right? So it's hard. If you're not on a golf course growing up or around it, or you may not know anything about it, it's hard to get people to apply to these programs, right? So this is a, you know, a huge advantage because you guys are going to come in, if you apply to a turf school, you're going to come in well-versed in what they're talking about. So everything's going to get easier from there. But I put a big emphasis with our crew and on everyone on education, and mm-hmm. it's not just a degree. There's a difference between a degree and an education.
For sure.
So if you have that piece of paper, good for you.
Love
but
that.
If you get to work and you get into the workforce and you don't know what you're talking about, you're taking care of a living, breathing thing that's 100% visual. So if you fake it, you're not going to make it, right? So you will see exactly what you don't know with the plant. It's going to tell you everything. So
just got like three t-shirt like on the back. You can't fake it till you make it. Love it.
Kit Kat, what you got? As far as a student at your school or like someone just out in the real world?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of our responsibility too, right? So it's hard to understand that this is a career field because a lot of people just don't know, right? So
So
we have to continue to push that past the industry, which is the hardest part, right? So we can do this and you guys are internal in the industry now and you can come to a conference and you can, what you're doing is really what the answer to that question, right? How do they find out? Well, they have to be exposed to it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether that be us networking with the broadcast team or the production team to maybe have a little video snippet that says like something about the grounds crew as a line of work or, you know, a video demonstration that shows the work. And, you know, a lot of it comes from, you know, the social media side with the ASMR and like the, you know, all the stuff that is aesthetically pleasing, right?
Yeah,
painting a straight line and all the videos that people like. And
but
that's it, right? Like if people have that and they see a video of someone painting a straight line and they're like, wow, that's, you know, that does something for you, then that's what
we want, for sure.
That's half the battle. You know, I had an assistant in Columbia, didn't know anything, and he was in a sports program in college, and someone mentioned the grounds crew as an internship, and there wasn't anything in the business side. Hey,
the TV got hungry, guys.
You know, and he took a leap of faith and just like, you know what, I'm going to try the grounds crew.
Yeah.
And then he fell in love with it and he decided to get out of it, which is fine. But when he was working for me, he would mow a straight line and look back and be like, that was a laser.
Yeah, dude.
And that little bit of pride, that's all I ask for our guys is if you have that, then you're where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have it, it's probably not the place for
probably
you.
Probably not, right?
So as far as finding the industry, it's tough. I think it's on the people in the industry to push it out because once you're in, you kind of know how close and niche it is, but getting in from the start is, you know, that's what you guys are doing.
I think so. I've heard it before. How'd you find it?
I was stumbling across programs on NC State's website.
I just feel like that's like 90% of the people in the industry, to be honest, you know, like,
I had no idea it existed.
Yeah.
I wanted to work. I was looking towards like landscape architecture, horticulture, landscape design, something outside. And I stumbled across turfgrass science. And I was like, what's this?
I'm like, ooh.
I was like, oh, wow. You know?
That's awesome.
And then I went for it and fell in love with it. So.
Getting in deep.
That's deep. I have a bigger question. Yeah.
Like, once you brought
it, yeah. this is going to come out of left field, but
I just want to be a rock star, man.
Like,
heck yeah.
In high school, I played music. I was in a heavy metal band and
Oh, really? That's awesome.
Just a little bit. So
that is awesome.
Hair down to my chest, and that's what I wanted to do. Right. So, which is funny because,
Zach,
I look back on it, and at that time, right, like, I just want to play music and do this. I started playing bass when I was 10 years old, and just that's what I wanted to do.
That's awesome.
But I had some people in my life at the time that were older in the music scene that were like, hey, man, you should probably go to college and do something else and just keep music as a hobby. And I was like,
ow.
No, I'm going to make it. Right? Like, we're going all the way. And then that, for whatever reason, this one guy that always just stuck in the back of my head. And I was just like, you know what? Not to say, like, knock anything with the music industry, but it's not what I thought it was. So then I was thinking about it, right? So then I started to kind of, like, change my thoughts. But I always remember that one guy saying, like, all the time. He used to say it every show. He'd come and be like, oh, that was awesome. Hey, man, what are you going to do after high school? And I'd be like, what? I'm going to go on tour, dude. What are you talking about? Right? And so...
We got to make that happen, guys. We got to get a band together.
So that was kind of that, and it's completely different, but I always enjoyed kind of working outside. I enjoyed art. And so that was kind of like running parallel, was blending the art with the hands-on work.
Love that.
And that's where I think I stumbled into football instead of baseball. Cause I started out hardcore into baseball.
I feel like that's normal. Like a lot of people do.
Yeah. It's unique because you can cut your teeth in baseball in the minor leagues and learn and perfect. You can't do that in football.
Yeah.
Once you get here, you're in it. There's no training ground, you know, per se. The beauty of baseball is like the grass art. I can
very draw patterns true.
And have dirt to grass edges and white lines and all this stuff. Football is a little different.
So. Well, there's a lot of art in it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
What was your second question there, bud?
Mm-hmm. As a student, I just want to see that you're passionate and you take it seriously, right? Because I can't tell when I go to a proctored exam of, you know, a bunch of students in here, right? Like some of them, like,
are they intently doing this?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's not even, you know, if they're joking around, whatever. But if they know what they're doing, if they're passionate, and that's not a bad thing. It's more like, do they take it seriously, or are they just there messing around and letting someone else do it, right? Do they know their stuff when they're there already, right? And so, like, you guys might be up against some kids in a four-year program who've had a base education that you guys haven't had. So I wouldn't, you know, take yourself out of that, but you also have been doing some things that they haven't done, and you've seen a lot of things that they haven't done, and you've seen the real world side that they haven't done, because they have to wait for their internship to do it, right? And so they might only get one or two internships a year if they're a senior at Penn State or NC State or whatever. You guys have been to all these different places, and you get to network with us, and that's kind of the beauty of what you're doing now, because it's so much different than what they're going through. So if you go compete against them, okay, but if you don't, I don't know if it's not winning, right? I don't know.
We have high expectations for them.
Yeah. So, but that's okay, because you're going to, you might be competing, but you're also there to learn, because you're going to take a test. You're going to see what knowledge is out there that you are missing, right? So you're going to see all the questions you don't know the answer to. That's what you need to go home and work on, right? That's what you need to go, if you're sitting in that exam or that quiz bowl or whatever the format is, and you're like, oh, I don't know. Like, well, that's the learning opportunity. Like, whatever you don't know is what you need to remember to go home and learn.
They've been prepping really hard. They've done a good job. Like, there is an outcome I'll be upset about, but I mean, I cannot be happy with what they've done. They've worked hard for sure. So
I think that the fact that you guys are there represented, participating against college kids, is like a big deal. So that's a win. It's all good. obviously,
let's get the win, guys.
Yeah, we want you guys.
Let's get the win. We got this.
If Brentsville comes out and beats,
if we get on the podium, people are going to freak out. So I will say that
we have a brand new hire at Charlotte FC. Okay. Just started after the new year, and he just graduated, but he's going to participate in the student challenge with Iowa State. So if you guys could beat him, we might be in trouble.
If you beat him, I will laugh. I'm going to be honest, but.
Pressure's on, Bryce.
I have high expectations, for sure.
Yeah. It'll be fun. Gosh. It'll be cool. But as far as, like, the scouting question, I'm just going to want to see who's out there, who knows some stuff, and hand out business cards and just network. And
I actually remember business cards this time. Yeah. I've forgotten last time.
I'm
going to
bring a fat stack.
So, it was like, you got business cards? I'm like, no.
It's tough, man. Like, I swear, some of these teams, at least prior to COVID and when I was interning, you know, you could get a team who hosts six interns a year. They get six turf students in sports. When I was at the Nationals, we had six. We had six
props
students.
Props to you, John. God bless.
It's a lot. It's a lot for one place to take out of the industry, too.
For sure.
Right? So we're all competing for labor. And we're competing for industry people. But, you know, my hope is that in the next two to three years, one of your students is going to end up interning or working full time for me. That's my goal.
I did mention, so when you said, do high school students get to do internships, mm-hmm. when Kat did all like painting and everything, I emailed it to her mom. I was like, I don't think I'm going to get a response, but you know, she was like, well, that's incredible. But no.
Hey, I'd be willing. I think our organization would probably be on board for that, but either way, so that,
you,
I mean,
Kat,
that is
on you now.
You know, I really do hope that comes to life, is that, you know, we've worked to build this network, and if it's not for me and it's someone else, great. But I would love to have you guys come in, get the experience, get the familiarity with the crew and the mm-hmm. place and what we do. And then as your freshman year at Tech or wherever you go, hopefully NC State, you end up back working for us.
Yeah.
You know, as an intern. And if you find out after working here every day for 3 months that this isn't for you, good. If you find out that this is exactly where you want to be, great. Right. But the key is to just expose at a different level. Cause when you guys come in, you're seeing, you know, the frou-frou highlights.
Right? Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're seeing the cool stuff. You don't see the grind.
See the,
right.
The,
you
the,
might see a snippet of it and it's the shiny lights and, you know, the events. The daily grind can wear on you, but that's where you have to be able to accept that that is, that's the whole ride, right? Like, that's the journey to get to the end. Mm-hmm. So if you work that for 3 months straight through your summer, you understand, like, wow, this is quite a bit. Or you come in, you're like, this is legit.
Yeah.
And we're going to do this. And I want to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what happened to me at working for John. I hadn't done Major League Baseball. I did USA Baseball. And I got there and I was like, this is pretty cool. Like, I like the challenge of the events. I like the challenge of the one field, super high focused, detailed work versus a complex. You know, the sods, the all of it. Just the pressure was cool to me. Looking back, I'm like, oh. But you know,
when you're young, time, when you're young, it's 100%. Cool. I agree.
It's just
with
like
you.
How do you balance it, like moving forward? But something unique. So hopefully, within a year or two, we have our first pilot program of Brentsville High graduate turned
Sam Heaton just let the Browns know he's heading up there. If you remember Sam.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he's heading up there.
So where you say the Browns?
Yeah.
Nice. They got some good guys there.
Good.
That'll be a good experience.
He said it's with Pioneer as well, so they're doing like the double thing. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
He had another offer out in
Seattle?
Yeah. You and me both. I was like, really? You're not going there? Because I thought that was his number one choice. But
Seattle's facility is
just
one of the prettiest.
Crazy. Sergio does incredible work.
It's one of the prettiest practice facilities
just
in the
like
country.
Right
if
on
not
the water.
The craziest.
Yeah, I mean, that's you can't beat that. That's like made in the shade right there. It's like anything you could ever want.
It's
in
nice.
One
it's
site,
really nice.
For sure.
Distracting.
But he's very interested in, you know, either here or there next year.
Yeah.
which I'm like, you're already thinking about that. Jeez, let's just get through this one, you know? Like, but no, I agree with you on, you know, having them have the experience, because, I mean, Zach and Mason both spent a summer on a golf course. Mm-hmm. Mason, you did one, right? Or do you have two? One, okay. Zach's had two. But it's, like you said, it's a grind, and it's something that you have to love. And if I would be doing a disservice to them if I was just telling them, like, the shiny, you know, oh, this is great, like, whatnot. But being able to experience it at school and then go and do it in an internship somewhere is something that, again, you know, you can't have someone in there if they're going to hate it. You know what I mean? So I couldn't agree with you more on that. Obviously, walking around your facility, there's a lot of Toro equipment around, and we're working with them. So how has Toro had an impact sort of in just the overall success of your crew and the field work and everything that goes into it? Obviously, it's a great striper. It's a little bit heavier than other machinery that have been offered to you. I was like, waiting for you to actually remember that.
Oh, I know.
But what is it like working with them and being able to have, you know, the products that, I mean, when you walk up to the practice field, you're like, I want one of that, I'll take one of those.
we're very fortunate. Again, just kind of the platform we are or the organization.
For sure.
So we worked pretty hard to reestablish a partnership with our local distributor. So we got a nice partnership deal last year completed, and you know, we were in a good spot to be able to create a wish list, and we got everything on our list, and that's, it's, you know, it's awesome, right? So the equipment's really high end, obviously. You know, we have all of our equipment on a lease, so we don't have an in-house mechanic, so that kind of plays into that decision versus purchasing. We're able to exchange our wearables, you know, the carts, the mowers, the stuff that we use all the time, to make sure we have the highest end equipment and refresh technology every couple years. So they've been really good. Our partners are awesome. They enjoy quite a bit of, you know, the assets that we provide for them. So that's a really unique thing. They're also 15 minutes down the road, not even. So
always helpful.
Very quick access. You know, one of the benefits of being in a major city like this, we just have our resources readily available. Yeah. So having them, having their equipment all the time, obviously the, you know, supply and demand right now, post-COVID world and the supply chain stuff has been a challenge. But the things we do have are, it's amazing. So I've worked with all different types of equipment. You know, it's just personal preference at this time, and they're awesome, but not to knock any of the other brands either. So
for sure.
Let's take a moment to acknowledge our sponsor, the Toro Company, and their Workman UTX. The Workman UTX is tough and dependable with the highest payload in its class, rugged design, powerful performance, and unmatched versatility. It gets the job done without compromise. Visit Toro's website to learn more.
Just something about the red, you know, that's what gets me.
State, whatever.
That's not why, I'll be honest with you.
I didn't know.
I'm a Hokie. We have to be, you know, we got to make sure that's established.
Orange, maroon, I don't know.
Hey, the tree's leaves change that color for a reason, because God's a Hokie. Always remember that.
It's a stretch.
Not a llama.
It's a stretch.
Not a llama.
It's a stretch.
So obviously, you know, SFMA is coming up, and obviously there are so many people that you get to see that we only get to see once a year. And what are you looking forward to this week at the event? What are you hoping to sort of accomplish other than being able to see the next generation? You obviously have a lot going on here, and then on to the Super Bowl. Like, there are just so many things. What are you hoping to get out of your time down there in Daytona?
Just, I mean, honestly, networking, that's a big one for me every single year. Getting to kind of, I don't want to say refresh, but maybe refresh the relationships, because, you know, sometimes you just don't have time to talk to everyone all year long, right?
Yeah,
so you don't get to see these people that you've worked with or networked through the industry with. So it's always exciting. You know, it sucks to get a call from someone that says they have to drop out last minute.
You know who you are. We're Joey, very upset
Joey
over
boy.
Here.
So that's a disappointment. Because
we do love you, though. Sorry.
No, it's like family you don't get to see often that live across the country, right? So they get there and it's always a good time. So I enjoy that aspect tremendously. I wish I was getting more time there. I'm going to come in Wednesday, Thursday. But I have two crew members, first time attendees. They're going to be there all week. So that'll be really cool. Just for them to kind of see what it is, right? We've done the regional together and we've done the smaller conferences. So this one is eye opening because you get to see the trade show, all the equipment, all the vendors, all the people, and then how many people are interested in what you're doing. Because I've heard that from our guys is like, I didn't know how many people were in this industry.
Yeah.
Right. So you don't think about it. You think about your little world or your little bubble, and then you get there and you're like, wow.
Puts it in perspective.
Yeah, there's a lot of people doing what we do and caring about what we care about. So, I look forward to the networking. I'm really excited to kind of see the student challenge and be involved in that this year. Something different I've never done. See what's out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Pluck some talent.
Now, obviously, that transitions right into the Super Bowl. Yep. This is third time. I mean, the group is just phenomenal. Yep. All great guys. Everyone has a phenomenal time out there from everyone that I talk to. Yep. What does that look like for you, obviously, moving out to Vegas for 2 weeks? Is it 2 weeks or 1 week at that point?
Two weeks, right? About like 16
What's the experience
days.
Like, and what are you looking forward to this year, specifically in Vegas? I mean, Nick and everyone that's listening, you guys are doing phenomenal work out there. It's going to be, it's going to look great.
They're well underway with prep. Been seeing a little bit of stuff on Twitter and, you know, talking to him, keeping up with that. It's exciting, you know, new facility. I haven't been there before. I haven't seen a rollout tray before. So when I talk about our world and what we're trying to achieve with practice fields, which is control of your environments, that's what that is, right?
So it's a whole other level of controlling your environment. Yeah.
It's a tool that not a lot of people get to play with. So I'm super excited to see, you know, what he's done so far to, you know, from the replacement of that field and how we kind of manicure that into game day, which is always really cool to see the development. And then see the two practice facilities out there and kind of work that crew, you know, super good group of people like that. I love those guys. And every time I get to go, whether it's, you know, there or international games, I enjoy learning and networking because it's same thing as SFMA, right? You're seeing some people you haven't seen in a while or new people. You're exchanging ideas all day long, every day for 2 weeks straight, right? Yeah. So you're constantly evaluating systems and talking through things and disagreeing, agreeing. It's all beneficial. And then a new shop, a new facility, you know, I hope I get to go into Zach's shop and be like, well, I like that hook. I'm going to take a picture of that hook. I'm going to go buy one when I get home. You know, how do you have your tools set up or how do you have your paint pit or stuff like that? That's one of my favorite things to do is just see other people's places and just steal ideas.
For sure.
Right? Like that's how we all get better. So.
Yep. I had an argument with Ryan about this. Ryan was like, you're a great field manager. Like, no, I'm not. I just steal from everybody. Just take everyone's ideas and I run with
everyone it. Everyone does it. It's just molding it in. And, you know, you might look at the pegboard and be like, wow, those are cool hooks. Yeah. But then yours is going to be a little different or a little better. For sure. You know, so it's all good.
Obviously, you know, we have kids here and you know the program well. You met many of my kids and you've given them advice before, obviously. But what would be your best words of advice for them going into this week? Obviously, their first show, first time going to a national conference. Just what would be, what should they be looking out for? What should they be doing? What should they hope to accomplish in their time there?
Take it in. I think on it, and this is a challenge probably for all of them, but talk to people that you don't know, which is everyone, right? Just talk to them. They're people. They like talking about turf. If you tell them where you're coming from, they're going to be excited just to talk to you for the same reasons, right? Like they're going to be excited to know that you're up and coming in this industry. You've done certain things. So if you know or at least think you know where you want to go right now, say that's Major League Baseball or NFL or MLS or something, go find someone in the league who's got a brand on and introduce yourself. You're like, hey, man, I just want to introduce myself. You know, I'm at Brentsville High, interested in this industry. That's it. and the conversation will spawn. You don't have to get anything out of it. You just need to make connections, because that's half the battle in this industry. It's all who you know, and you never know where that kind of leads to. And that person may not be there forever, and they might go to another job or wherever, you know. And it doesn't have to be the head guy. It could be the assistants. It could be the crew member. It can be anyone. So network with people, find people that are like-minded, and take advantage of that, because it's very, very rare to get an opportunity to be in a room of everyone, right? So there's a lot of different skill sets. There's a lot of years of experience. There's a lot of different personalities there. So just find them and say what's up and introduce yourself and enjoy whatever experience you have, right? So there's something there for everyone. I think they do a very good job of that. So getting to experience it all, try things, go around to every booth, at least walk up and down every single aisle at the trade show and look at things, take pictures of things, and then put it on your wish list to tell Drew to go back to school and ask for.
I've got money for
but
that.
But also, I mean, some of it's like, look at the equipment that you guys don't have and ask questions of what it is. You may not get to use it at Brentsville, but you might get to use it somewhere down the road, right? Mm-hmm. You might get your first internship, and whether it's a golf course or a sports field or something, you're going to see an aerator, a verticutter, or a tractor that you haven't seen before, and you're like, whoa, what's this? And that stuff can be pretty exciting. So there's a lot of new industry technology, so take advantage of it all being in one room for you to look at.
Well, I want to thank you so much for having us and bringing us here. As always, I shouldn't say like it now, but again, I can't thank you enough for all that you do for my students and for their, you know, abilities to have connections in the industry because of you. I am beyond eternally grateful, and I will always be wherever you need me to be, wherever that is.
I appreciate that. And likewise here, right? We're very grateful to have you guys here. I enjoy every time you guys stop by. Especially with even little things like this morning, right? But no,
we had a fun morning.
Yeah, all good. We don't have to go into detail.
No, we won't go into that.
So no, but it's exciting. I hope you guys get to, you know, we have multiple events this year. Hopefully, we can kind of work some of those things out.
Get, yeah,
you know, that, and then see the same faces, see new faces. That's always cool. Just you guys have a unlimited pipeline of. Students coming through, right?
Yeah,
and so it's cool to see the same kids come back and show interest and get that opportunity as well as mm-hmm. the new ones, because you can kind of see their growth through the years. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you can see one of your students paint a straighter line than our full-time guys.
Shout out to Kat. So wait till next year when you have to do it on the game field.
Yeah.
We'll see how straight
I told
are.
Her. If she came back, Kat, for ACC, you can do she's it. Doing yard lines. So
it's not scary.
It's not scary.
It's actually the flattest surface you will ever paint.
Like, it'll be easier than
the
any
easiest
line you've
and
ever
flattest
painted.
Surface you ever paint in your life.
But yeah, so equally as thankful. Love when you guys get to come down. I wish you could come down more.
I wish we could too.
So we'll just keep working that, and then hopefully get one of these up and comers.
Zach,
to
we're calling
come
you
work
out.
Here
come
in
on.
A year or two.
Come for the internship. Just make a commitment right now. Right now on camera. Get over to the microphone and say it. All right.
Yep.
Well, thank you guys. We'll see you down at SFMA.
Absolutely. See you
soon. Go ahead
and knock, knock.
We're doing this with Tora. I don't even know what the Tora is called. Who's there?
Interrupting duck.
Interrupting duck. Oh, okay. All right. I'm just going
to
go for it. Oh, that's going
to
be at the end. I'm going to, that's going to be like the bloopers.